podcast, and it's October, which means we're going to talk about horror movies, finally. I know some of you were like, when are you guys going to talk about horror? And I was like, we'll get to it, so don't worry. We're going to give you some good shit. And we're going to dig into some slashers this time. Right, Joey?
That's right. I know, I'm sure people probably prefer to hear about the Mexican horror movies. We'll see how this episode goes. But yeah.
This is going to be a unique one because, like I said, these are slashers from mostly the 90s, if anything. So it's like pretty unusual, but it's cool. And these are movies that hardly anybody even knows or really has seen. You look at the Letterboxd logins, IMDb ratings, very small or nothing at all.
Yeah, you can't even really find too much information about them, like Googling and stuff. It's basically just like...
bare bones, yeah.
But yeah, super bare bones.
Yeah. So, yeah, and then this episode, and then Joey. So, actually, this is not even one episode, right? We're going to do multiple.
Yeah, you know, Armando keeps, telling me, and I'm sure he's told a lot of people, you know, people always hit him up asking him, you know, is this a slasher? So... We wanted to talk about slashers, but we figured there's a lot of Mexican slashers. Why not give you guys what you want? And we're not gonna do one episode this month. We're gonna do four.
When I was giving Joey the time, I was like, so we're gonna talk about all these, and he was like, we'll probably need to split these. I was like, at first I was like, we could just speed run to them, but I was like, nah, you know what? Yeah, we gotta split them.
Yeah, you gotta give it their proper due, because I'm sure there's people out there that are not gonna like these movies, but so far I've liked almost all of them.
Yeah, and in their own ways, some you're just like, what? But we'll get to them. But yeah, today we're gonna talk about two. The other episode is gonna be two as well, double features.
Every episode will be a double feature, so it'll be eight total movies for the month of October. Yeah. Four episodes.
Yeah, so yeah, enjoy it. And the reason why it's called, is it a slasher, bro? Because it derives from these messages that I used to get back in the day. Like, I'd be on Facebook, you know, just like whatever, bullshitting, and then they get a message. And then someone in Spanish, you know, in Mexico, or like, I don't know, another like Spanish speaking country will message me. They'll be like, oh yeah, bro, esto es un slasher. And then it'll be like in weird caps. Like, the way they type, I'm like, who's typing this? Like, what is going on? Like, are they like on the phone or what? I don't know.
Oye, bro.
And then they send me the picture of the movie that I posted, and I'm like, I guess, yeah. I think I said it kind of was, or maybe it wasn't. So constantly, and then there was one guy, I'm not going to say his name, but he was one guy who would message me. He'd be like, hey, so what happens in this movie? Does the killer use this kind of weapon or that kind of? I'm like, what the fuck? I was like, didn't you just read what I posted?
I think people see the images and then they just hit you. I mean, it goes with everything. It's not just this stuff.
Yeah, it goes with a lot of
people. See a headline or a caption or an image and then automatically just come up with a situation in their head. So
this is exactly what we're with the first movie that we're going to talk about, which is called Pánico en el Bosque. And people are always, that's like the one that people just assume is a slasher because of the cover.
Well, before we get into that, I think it'll be beneficial to the listeners and to the month and, you know, the theme of October and as a whole. What the fuck is a slasher, right? Because I feel like so many people call or mislabel movies.
That's true.
Not just slasher movies, but in general. You know, you used to have people that call Suspiria a giallo, which people are fucking idiots.
I literally saw that movie and I was like, this is not a giallo.
Yeah, people are idiots. Anyone who's calling Suspiria a giallo is an idiot. I think it'll be beneficial if we, if we give our definition of what a slasher is. And that way it'll give, you know, kind of a bigger meaning to when we decide whether or not these movies are slashers.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So, Joey, what do you think is a slasher?
I mean,
how would you define it for yourself?
To me, this is, you know, my opinion here. A slasher is kind of just a systematic, like rhythmic killing of a ton of people in a horror movie. Because you have a lot of kills in a giallo movie too, but I wouldn't consider a giallo movie a slasher, right? So it has to be horror leaning or horror themed. Mm-hmm. And it just has to have, you know, at least, I don't know, seven plus kills, I would say.
Seven?
I mean, that seems right?
Yeah, I get it.
You figure there's always there's always, you know, whatever, three or four couples, or there's always, you know, a group of teenagers.
That's true, yeah.
There's always got to be a couple of cynical adults that got to die, you know. So
that's true. Well,
there's got to be at least seven and above.
So I kind of have to go with that. Yeah, it's like people get killed, There's a sharp weapon used. The killer wears a mask or doesn't wear a mask or a disguise.
There's always red herrings. There's got to be at least two or three red herrings in a slasher.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, you know, bloody kills. You know, if the kills aren't bloody and you don't see them at all, you just know they're dead. It's like, well, then that's not a slasher.
Yeah, that's kind of like the fine line, right? Because there are a lot of slashers that do kills off screen.
Yeah.
And primarily because of, you know, budgetary reasons.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they can't afford to have a makeup artist do the effects. So I don't know where I stand on that, because there are a couple off camera kills in the movies that we're going to cover.
Oh yeah, plenty.
But so I don't know. I don't know if I use that against the slasher to not label it a slasher or not.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's dig into the one that I said, Pánico en el Bosque. Oh.
Señor.
Dime, Marie.
Le llaman por teléfono.
Gracias, ahorita contesto.
Está bien.
Que saquen a toda la gente del parque. Es bastante tarde. Muchachos, busquen a Lalo y que desalojen el parque. Sobre todo las cabañas.
De acuerdo.
Immediately, when you look at the cover, you're like, oh, it's a slasher. There's a ghoulish person holding a knife and holding a severed head. And then you're just like, okay, maybe. And then you look at the back, same thing. You look at the back, and then there's a bunch of kills on there. I'm holding the tape right now. That's like a kill, dead body.
I mean, it's very much marketed as a slasher.
The way it's marketed, yeah. When you look at the cover, the font and everything.
Like, who is this monster right here?
Oh, yeah. So, the funny thing is, so later on, I actually found out where that came from, because that's not in the movie, by the way.
Yeah, it's not.
So, and it comes from another movie prior that was made. It's called Mátame Porque Me Muero. And if you haven't heard of it or seen it, it's like a ghost horror comedy from Mexico. And this is one of the ghost zombies that appears in the movie. Like, that's literally the image and everything. They just drew it, and then they put the head over it.
Is it the same production company or something? Like, why would they just steal...
I don't know, but it's just that's the art. That's where the art comes from. It's from that one movie, and it's like so random. There's nothing related to it. And I was like trying to see if there's anything related to it. Like, no, they just took the inspiration from that movie. Because the scene, it's like, yeah, the ghosts are zombies or whatever, and she's holding a knife like that. So it looks pretty good. So I don't know. They probably saw it and were like, hey, let's just use that for the art. Fuck it.
I mean, yeah, looking at the box art, it definitely does. Like I said, it's marketed as a slasher.
Immediately
for sure.
You see, you're like, oh, shit, it's a slasher. You read the back. You're just like, oh, cool. Maybe, you know, give me some kills. Then when you watch, you're like, what the fuck is this? So let me break it down. It's set in a national park or Bosque de Chapultepec. Like, it's super obvious it's Bosque de Chapultepec. And it's weird because they try not to make it like it is, but then they at the same time, they do say it is. So it doesn't make sense there. I was so confused. Like, so it is Bosque de Chapultepec or not? You got your forest rangers. One of them is played by Flaco Guzman, Roberto Flaco Guzman, who was a very famous actor during that era. And then the years before that, Carlos East is another one that plays the forest ranger. And then his little boy, Carlos East Jr., is in the movie. Remember we saw East Jr. at Beyond the Streets recently. Yeah. Remember he mentioned, he's like, I never even saw that movie. I thought that was funny. He's like, yeah, I remember that movie, but I never saw it. And yeah, so, you know, they're forest rangers. You know, it's a typical day in the park, in the forest or whatever. Just a bunch of people going, you know, messing around. Or, you know, there's like a punk gang in the movie, remember? They're just like fucking around, causing trouble there for everybody, basically.
Yeah, the opening of this movie is fucking hilarious to me, because, you know, they get the establishing shots of the forest, but there's also scenes of like group karate at the forest.
Just like stuff
there's
that's
like
going
midgets
on.
Midgets playing basketball.
Yeah, and then it's just so like okay, this is just setting up the mood. Like, okay, this is the setting. And then immediately, yeah, you start seeing the problems that go on in the park. The forest rangers are on it. And then there's, of course, that punk gang. They're robbing people. They're, like, assaulting women there. Like, they're the ones that are the antagonists. But then, at the same time, so I don't know. Sometimes there's, like, problems there, and then, like, a killer emerges. You don't see him killing, but he emerges, and then he kills somebody. Mainly to, like, save a kid or, like, keep people from trouble. And yeah, that's pretty much it. You know, someone's lurking there and you don't really know who it is until the end.
Yeah, this one's kind of weird because, you know, it opens up and there's like an immediate kill. but that kill has nothing, like, it never comes up in the story as to who that person
was. Before the opening credits. Oh, yeah. So that was the thing. It's weird. So it opens like that, remember? And then it just says, oh, produced by whatever, whatever. But that's actually the kill from later, the first kill with the old lady. And then remember she's screaming at the girl?
Was that her?
That was her,
because it was off camera,
right? Yeah, it was weird. So I was like, why did they take that off and put it there? Oh, it was so weird. So that's what I'm saying. It's such a weird fucking movie. So that was technically the first kill of the movie.
There it is.
And then after that, yeah, so like I said, but there are, the whole duration is just mostly like just problems at the park. You know, there's just people they're messing, you know, not following the rules or like cooking or whatever. They're not supposed to be cooking.
¿Cómo ves, mano? Estamos pasando de película.
No, compadre, a mí se me hace que aquí falta algo, compadre.
No, nada, mire, mire. Chupe, comida.
No, a mí se me hace que... Bueno, sí.
Disculpen, pero el parque ya está cerrado.
¿Ah?
Además, no se permiten bebidas alcohólicas.
Ay, ay, ay.
Hagan el favor de retirarse.
¿Qué te pasa? ¿Con qué traes? En el parque es de todos, ¿no?
Claro. Además, pagamos nuestros impuestos. Así es de que lárguense. Aquí no queremos gente.
No.
No entiende.
Vámonos.
No entiende.
Úchila, úchila. ¡No se los vayan a fumar!
¡Mayates!
¡Mayates!
Esos no necesitan caballo,
comadre. No, no, pues si ya están
bien. Esos vuelan solos.
There's like a fire. Just really random shit. And then the forest ranger. And then the little boy. Remember Carlos is junior. Yeah, he's just riding a horse.
He ends up being Flaco, is it his son or his nephew in the movie?
He's supposed to be like his nephew, yeah. And then, remember, he gets lost later, and this which leads to the big event where it's like, everyone's like lost, or like, you know, the punks are messing with this couple that's featured in the movie a lot for some reason.
Yeah, with, so there's three punks in the movie. That's Cesar Bono,
yeah, Cesar
Alfonso Zayas Jr., yeah. And I can't remember the third guy's name.
Yeah, I don't remember the third guy.
But yeah, I mean, it's just three punks that
they frequent the park and they're always just causing problems.
Yeah, they're like, they're complete scumbags, and they make it known in the beginning. Like, they show up at like a little bar, and they're just absolute scumbags, talking about you know misogynistic, drunk, weed smoking thieves,
yeah,
that end up killing people.
Exactly.
So. What te gusta, charal? ¿Eh?
Una que tenga poca letra, mi Rudy.
¿Qué?
Porque ya sabe que se necesitan pocas palabras para el que es buen entendedor.
Oye, ya se tardó la rata en el baño.
Pues ya lo conozco, es bien colgado, es igualito a su jefe.
Sí. Segurito, estaban hablando mal de mí, ¿verdad?
¡Ah! ¿Cómo crees, carnal?
¡Cálmate, María Candelaria!
María Candelaria.
Tú, en vez de tener lombrices, tienes una boa ahí adentro.
¡No, no digas boa, carnal! Esos bichos son de mala suerte. Las malas boas no me gustan, porque no tienen nalgas. En cambio, el otro día vi una torta, pero buenísima, carnal. Es que me voy caminando despacito y caer. ¡Ay, chico, pellizcote en la nalga! ¡Ah! ¡De Dios, canal! Yo dije, esta vieja no me va a hacer nada. ¿Cómo no? Me agarró a bolsazos, canal. ¿Qué me hizo joder? ¿Y qué creen? ¿Qué creen? Se quitó los tapones la vieja y ahí venía detrás de mí. Y yo corrí la vieja detrás de mí. Pero nunca me alcanzó. ¿Sabes quién era la vieja?
¿Quién era?
Tu jefa. No se enoje. Mi Dolores del Río.
¿Por qué Dolores del Río?
Pues tú le pusiste así.
¡Madre Candelaria!
¡Ah, de veras!
Ya, no marchen, que traen cartilla. A ver, mesero, la cuenta. Ya me aburrieron.
Son 24 mil pesos.
¿Sabes qué, canal? Envuélveme estas para la perra.
¿Cuál perra?
La perra amplia que traigo.
¿Qué? ¿Mil pesos nada más?
¿Qué? ¿A poco quieres más? ¿Para cómo atiende?
Vamos a darnos un touch and roll.
Sí, para bajar las tortas.
¿Cómo para bajar las tortas? Para subir el espíritu.
No. Yo digo que para bajar las tortas hay que decir... ¡Salud, Kiki!
¡Salud, Kiki!
And then, yeah, once the movie gets to that scene where it's like everyone's lost, the couple's getting chased by the punks, they assault the girl, and then they kill her. And then the unseen killer emerges, and then he kills all the punks brutally. Like, that's actually the money shot. It's like he's literally, like, killing them with, like, a hatchet, was it, right?
Well, or he, like, killed two of them with, like, a big-ass, like, a branch.
Yeah, there we go, the branch. From a tree. Yeah,
yeah, like, I think he stabs Cesar Bono through the chest. And then he stabs, I don't remember if it was Alfonso Zayas Jr., but one of him or the other guy, he stabs him, like, through the head, through, like, the bottom of his neck.
Yeah, that was Junior. Yeah, Alfonso Jr. Yeah. And then after that, that's it, you know, and then everyone's there, like, dead. And then the forest ranger finds out, oh, it's this guy that's lurking there. He's like a vagrant. They call him Monstro or something like that. And then
El Monstro.
Yeah, which is played by Gerardo Cepeda Chiquillín. Of course.
You know, but it's funny, though, because in this, like, the movie itself, like, this is where I think the problem lies, is that Flaco Guzman, this is his only director credit for this movie. But I think he got lost in the sauce. Like, I don't know if he was ever truly a fan of horror movies, because this, they played it safe and played it like an action movie. Right. So the whole time it's him being a fucking forest ranger. Oh, no smoking in the park.
Yeah, like, know, he's enforcing the rules.
No drinking at the park, you know. So he's just running around, and him and his goons are just running around, you know, trying to stop people from, you know, frolicking around, doing a bunch of dumb shit. And everyone ends up getting fucking killed.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know, it's like,
it's like they didn't know what they were making. It's like, I feel like what it was, maybe it's the script was just constantly changing. That's usually the case with these movies, especially the video homes. They were constantly just changing the script. So I think that's probably what happened. Obviously, he didn't write it, so he was just going with whatever the fuck they were giving him. He's like, all right, we're going to do that then. That's more than likely what it was. That's literally what it feels like. Like, so much script changes. So it's like, all right, this was probably intended to be a slasher for sure, but then it just kind of gets lost along the way. It's like, okay, now it's just like a movie about the forest, you know, and the dangers of it, you know?
Yeah, because there's even times, like, throughout the movie where, like, they're like understaffed and underpaid and shit, and they're like, you know, they're trying to get the resources, and, you know, and there's a couple scenes in there where I think it was Carlos Hughes's character who was just like, you know, we can't do it, we don't have enough, our jeep is fucked up, and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And Bruno Ray ends up being like a he comes in and he's playing like a high level, I guess, police officer, and it's like, you know, we got to keep this quiet. You know, we have this man running around, and, you know, we don't put him in an asylum or whatever the case is. But, and Flaco, of course, is just aloof to all of it. He's got his own problems. His wife hates him because he works too fucking much. Fucking.
He hardly sees his family. Like, he's always in the fucking forest working.
Yeah, I don't know. He's, I don't know. I don't think he knew he was a fan of horror movies, if anything. I mean, he's not known, even in his acting. I don't recall a bunch of horror movies from him, but
yeah, he started in a bunch of stuff, but yeah, not really horror. Like, he has a bunch of, like, 200 plus credits to his name, and it's like, you think about his filmography, it's like, yeah, he didn't really do horror.
Yeah, so I don't think he was
familiar with it at all.
So it seems weird to get him to direct a straight to video slasher, but
yeah. So it's not a slasher, right, Joey?
I think this movie tries to be a slasher, but doesn't really know how to be a slasher.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't know if it's, you know, again, budgetary reasons that they couldn't show too many kills or...
Only near the end, like I said, in that scene at night when they're all together. That's, like, literally the only time you see a bunch of kills like that.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a bunch of shitty characters in this fucking movie that deserve to die, too. Like you said, the grandma was, like, a drunk, beating up her granddaughter because her son didn't give enough money for her to get drunk, so she beats on the granddaughter.
Mira, amiguita, te voy a dar dinero para que vayas aquí a la otra cabañita para que me traigas dos cervezas, por favor. Una, ¿lo verás dónde estará el dinero? ¿Y tu papá? Se fue tu papá y no me dejó dinero. ¿Qué voy a hacer, maldito? Todo por tu culpa. Tú tienes la culpa de todo. Tú eres una niña tonta. ¿Me oíste? Siempre estás con que mamá no tomes. ¿Por qué mamá no tomes? ¡Mamá! ¡Mamá! Para que no grites, papá, te voy a cortar la lengua. No. Mejor te voy a cortar el pelo. No,
porque ese después no puedo vender.
¿Sabes qué?
¡Te voy a matar, condenada!
¿Qué los tienes en la mesa? ¿Te oprimiste?
¡Te voy!
¡Niña malvada! ¡Niña tonta! ¡Niña tonta! ¡Niña tonta! ¡Perra! ¡Maldita!
She deserved to die. She deserved to die a horrible death. They should. That's a death they should have showed on screen.
Yeah.
The punks, obviously, they all deserved to die. They were complete fucking assholes.
So it's like, in a way, the killer was protecting the people in the forest when you think about it.
Yeah, but you know, I should, as soon as I seen that full chiquilín, I should have known that it was going to be some mamadas, because his role is so minimal in this movie.
Yeah, you only see him near the end.
And he's basically, he's like a gentle giant, I would assume, has mental disabilities.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't talk. He just kind of grunts around. There's a scene at the end of the movie where he's at the zoo.
Oh, yeah.
And he picks up a little girl because she can't see what's happening. And the girl's mom comes in and, you know, God, let go of my daughter. So fucking starts slapping him. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, I wouldn't call it a slasher.
I'm like stuck in a hard place with this one.
Did you like it, though? Because I did like it. See, that's the thing. Even though it wasn't what it was supposed to be or what you think it is, it's still a decent movie. I personally did like it.
But. Yeah, I mean, it's not like great or anything like that, but it's not a bad movie.
Yeah,
it's made, you know, it's made well, I guess you can say.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
I
mean, it wasn't made badly, yeah.
You have a cast of great actors, so obviously they were trying to do something big here. But
yeah, clearly, because you got Flaco, you got Leticia Perdigón, Bruno Rey, Cesar Bono, and then Carlos East, like a pretty well. Yeah,
I mean, those are huge. Yeah, those are huge names. Yeah,
but yeah, the movie just kind of goes all over the place, and you're just like, what? And then you go to a letterbox, and people are like, yeah, this is a great Mexican slasher. I'm like, did you guys watch the same movie? Or are you guys just looking at the cover? Because the cover, like I said, it does sell you as a slasher. I was fooled by it, too, when I bought it on Amazon years ago. But other than that, yeah, no, it's... No, not really.
Yeah, This is the one out of all of them that I have the most trouble with deciding whether or not I consider it a slasher.
I can. I just call it like a thriller, a forest thriller. I don't know.
A forest thriller. Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know what to call it, but yeah, it's not going to be what you think it is.
Yeah, I guess according to the way I would define a slasher, it would not be a slasher.
Yeah, it's not going to fall into that category for sure.
But I mean, to each their own. If the people want to watch it and consider it a slasher, whatever. But I'm not putting it on my slasher list.
Would you buy it on Blu-ray?
Honestly, I would though.
Yeah, me too.
I would buy it on Blu-ray.
if it got like a restoration, I would totally buy it. Actually,
but you know, I think at least for the most part, every time I see reviews for a Mexican movie or even like the ones that Vinegar has put out, people aren't very friendly to them, man.
I know.
People kind of hate, and maybe because we have like a cultural bias towards these movies.
Yeah,
but
I think people would hate this.
I think the majority of people are not gonna like this movie. Unfortunately,
yeah,
because there is some good in it, but
yeah, it's not bad, but it's just it's not what you think it is at all.
I mean, it's no different than some of the American slashers that came out that were oversold, and you watch it and you're just like, what the fuck, like.
Yeah.
How is this a slasher? You know, it's nothing happens for 40 minutes and then, you know, a couple people die and yep, it's a slasher, but
and then gets a 4K release.
Yeah, a 4K release, ultra limited box, all kinds of shit, but I don't know. I mean, maybe it's a classic waiting to be rediscovered, but
some weird things happen, that is true.
I mean, I guess you never know. But I do think that the second movie.
Oh, yeah.
is a slasher.
That one is like a legend on its own now, because I feel like I got really rediscovered like in the 2010s when it got like uploaded online. I remember like I was one of the people that found out about that movie through online. And I was like, oh, I never heard of this one, Bosque de Muerte.
Yeah, this one's hard. I'm looking at the cover right now.
Joey liked it. I was like, Joey, you're gonna talk about this.
Yeah, I actually like this one a lot. Yeah. But yeah, the cover is pretty sick. It's got a dope ass font. You got a psycho killer with a giant Bowie knife in his hand. There's a dead body laying on there. Yeah, he does use. Jorge Reynoso, you know, looking badass with his gun. You got like a cabin with the fire going into the fireplace.
Very Friday the 13th looking inspired art, I guess you'd say. Something of that nature.
Yeah, I mean, you know, slasher, similar, slasher-esque, you know.
Yeah, it's really good.
But, okay, I mean, let's get into Bosque de Muerte. And, like I just said, I do think that Bosque de Muerte is a slasher. So I think the majority of people would actually prefer
this one over Pánico. Oh, yeah, for sure.
But let's get into it. It's from 1993, directed by Carlos David Ortigosa, who, you know, directed a bunch of novelas. You know, I think this is his only movie credit.
Yeah, right? It's weird. Yeah. So he has like a really interesting career because he wasn't really much of an actor. He was more of like a voice dub actor, and then he made a company called Cisna. Cinza, which was Compañía Cinematográfica Interamericana. And they would dub like American TV shows like The Jetsons, Batman, Dragnet, shit like that. So that's what he was primarily known for. So he was just doing the dubbing work for Mexico, you know, for these English shows. And then, I don't know, in the 90s, he stopped doing that and then he directed this movie. That's so fucking weird. I thought that was so strange. It's like, how did this voice dub actor just make a slasher randomly in the 90s?
You know, a favor for a favor. Someone needed a director and he's like, yeah, fuck it.
It came out well, which is great. Yeah.
I mean, I think it also helps that it was written and you know, by Carlos David Ortigosa, but also co-written by Gilberto de Anda.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Who was, you know, known for having really good scripts.
Yeah, Gilberto de Anda, yeah, he was a fan of, he's a fan, because he's still alive, he's a fan of, like, horror sci-fi, so he understands this type of stuff.
He knows the form. This one follows the slasher formula.
So he was doing his homework, him and the other guy were definitely like, all right, we're going to make a slasher film, and this is how it's going to go.
And he also wrote a movie that we covered in episode 2, Un Hombre Violento, which... if any of you guys listening actually went and saw that, and you liked how violent that movie was, then you know what you're in for this movie, because this movie is also pretty fucking violent.
It's funny because when you mentioned, remember there's like a scene that reminded you of, what was it, Friday the 13th, remember?
With the knife.
So that's what I'm saying. So he knows the formula.
Yeah, this one is 100% a slasher, but it was produced... this one I couldn't figure out, because I saw two different credits for this. So I saw that it was produced by Jorge Reynoso himself, but in the end title credits, it was listed for his brother
Sergio. Sergio and then Gilberto were the producers. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a little weird. So typical with the Mexican shit though. Like the information is kind of convoluted.
And then it's so limited. It's like it's just the family members or their friends. This was clearly just like a family friend affair.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But yeah. Anyway, stars Jorge Reynoso, who I know most people when they hear the word trash mix, they probably think of Valentin Trujillo or the Almada brothers. But I think Jorge Reynoso deserves a spot on Mount Rushmore of this type of trash Mexican cinema, because I mean, he is legendary.
Yeah, he's very legendary. Even today, like, people know him still. Like, he's not acting no more. He's long retired now, but yeah, he's still very popular. People still talk about him.
I mean, he has almost 300 credits, which I'm sure he probably has some uncredited shit would take him to 300. But he's sitting at like 290 official credits, which is fucking crazy. But yeah, absolutely legendary. If you've seen his face, even if you've never seen his movies, you've seen his face and you know who he is. So it also stars Sergio Bustamontes, Alejandra Espejo, Andrea Aguirre, Lorena Victoria, Andres Bonfiglio, who people know from Ladrones de Tumbas, and Muerte en la Playa, which I'm sure, you know, that's one of Armando's favorites right there, Vadillo movie. Andres Garcia Jr.
And his brother Leonardo.
And his brother, exactly, mm-hmm. yeah. Who, you know, people would know from Cementerio de Terror, Cazador de Demonios. So there's a lot of tie-ins and familiar faces in this one. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it's basically, it follows like a Friday the 13th, I guess, plot, really. I mean, you know, a couple kids show up to a cabin and all hell kind of fucking breaks loose.
Yeah. You know, you think it's going to be a relaxing, you know, quiet after, you know, day in the forest, and then it starts raining and then people die.
Yeah. I think the main thing is that there's like a family secret attached to this cabin in the woods or in the forest,
because
that kind of like looms over the entire movie. And you know, after, obviously at the end, you know, I'll talk about it later, but we get into like the family history and why it's kind of a rule that they're not supposed to be at this cabin.
Yeah, because they weren't, that house hasn't been like used for years, if I recall, something like that.
Yeah. But again, you know, it follows the formula. There's three couples. You have Silvia and Cesar, Raul and Tamara, and Adolfo and Laura. And, you know, they play like the generic.
They're like college age. The early 20s.
Yeah, that's the thing, too. With, you know, a lot of the times they're supposed to be younger people, but you can tell. I mean, you look at them and, these motherfuckers are like 40 years old.
Yeah. I think Alejandra Espejo was the little bit older one, but she was supposed to be younger technically.
Yeah. But you know, like I said, the formula, you know, every character is the same character in slasher movies, right? So you have, you know, the complainer, right? The one that doesn't want to do anything. Everything's too hard, you know. You have the final girl, you know, who obviously is attached to this cabin. You have like the slutty girl or like the loose girl.
Oh, yeah.
You have the jokester. You have like the clean cut, you know, I guess not soft spoken, but you know, just clean cut generic guy. And then you have like the jock, the asshole guy. So I mean, you're starting to see a pattern here, and a lot of it is shot in like a POV style too. You get a lot of tracking shots of, all right, who are these people? You know, who's watching these people? You know, like they show up to the cabin and they're already being stalked. But,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so it starts off. I mean, this is the funny part, right? Because it starts off with Jorge Reynoso blasting these fucking like illegal loggers, shoots one of their fucking legs off. I mean, he's like a total badass. He's got like a gold like Glock, or not even a Glock. It looks like a 1911, but it's all gold. He's like he's the forest ranger, I guess you will.
Yeah, he's like the head forest ranger, or the only one really. You only see him, which is funny.
Yeah, exactly right.
He's the only one.
Ve a buscar al chofer del camión y dile que ya casi estamos listos. Que se lo traiga.
Al orden, hijo.
¡Salió ese tiro!
De allá, patrón. Creo que es uno solo.
Lo que están haciendo es ilegal. Esta es una zona de reserva ecológica. Está prohibida la tala de árboles. Suelten las armas y entréguense pacíficamente.
But yeah, so he shows up And you know, they're on the side of the road, the three couples, you know, they're on their way to this cabin, and yeah, he shows up like, nah, I can't help you. Like, I'm waiting for the cops. And the kids are like, what the fuck is going on? And they see, like, this guy's in the back of the bed. Yeah. Like, my leg, help me. And so they're all, so it already sets up, like, all right, this guy's a fucking badass. He's probably going to be the hero. And if he's not the hero, then he's secretly going to be involved with the killings. But
yeah, because he's very, like, you know, he's just so quiet, like, and serious. So you don't really know at first, like, is he...
Very stoic.
Yeah, very stoic. So you don't know if he's going to be like the killer or the hero. Is he going to help him? You just don't know yet. So that's the thing I liked about the movie, is like, there's just all this mystery surrounding going on. You're like, you don't know who's who or what's going to happen.
Yeah, especially because the main girl, Sylvia, she, you know, and in the opening scene where they run into each other, she recognizes him. Like, where do I know this fool from?
Yeah.
And it turns out that, you know, she has a history with this fool, because they show up to the cabin. And, you know, we kind of get a little bit of a backstory there about why, you know, why they're not supposed to be at this cabin. Like, what's the lore around this cabin?
Aquí huele a cementerio, man. Pues Silvia dice que la casa tiene cerrada más de 12 años, desde que se murió su mamá.
Sí, mira, se ve. Oye, César, ¿y es cierto lo de su mamá?
¿Por qué?
Pues dicen que se ahogó en el lago de por aquí y el cuerpo nunca fue hallado. ¿Tú qué sabes?
Pues yo sé lo mismo que ustedes. Pero no creo que sea conveniente sacar el tema delante de Silvia.
Claro. Oye, ¿y su papá?
Según sé, no lo ve desde la muerte de su mamá. Pero pues él le sigue mandando dinero.
Ah, ¿sí?
Oye, hay que sacar lo demás de la camioneta.
Claro.
And then, you know, this fool, Jaguar. His name is Jaguar.
Jaguar.
He shows up to kind of, you know, let them know, hey, be safe. You know, there's some weird shit going on. And she basically, you know, finally realized, like, oh, this, I know this fool. He was from my childhood. And I guess they had, like, a secret,
love affair. Yeah, they were, like, child sweethearts, yeah. Because remember, they were, like, they carved their names on the tree.
Exactly, yeah. She walks up to, like, a tree, and there's, like, a, you know, the J and the S carved into the trunk of the tree. But then we're also introduced to Jacinto, who's, like, the first red herring of the movie. You know, he's, like, the caretaker of the cabin. He's dirty and shit. And
yeah, that was played by
super creepy
Alfredo Gutierrez El Turco, who was like in a million movies as a small role or a leading role. Here he's kind of in a small role, but he's in everything.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
He's El Turco, yeah.
And of course, you know, he's the fucking... The funny thing is he's walking around like with red chucks
on. Oh, I know, yeah. So you just... So there's something a little usual. Like, oh, this guy's a little weird. Maybe he's the killer. Maybe. Maybe he's just weird. But you don't know.
Don Jacinto?
Es usted el vivo retrato de su mamacita. Que en paz descanse.
Ay, usted no ha cambiado nada. ¿Cómo le hace? Chicas, él es Don Jacinto, el administrador del rancho. Ella es Tamara y ella es Laura, compañeras de escuela.
Mucho gusto. Encantada.
Don Jacinto, necesitamos leña para la chimenea. Y que nos conecte, por favor, el gas para tener agua caliente.
Enseguida, niña. No faltaba más.
Gracias. Again, there's just so much mystery going on.
Yeah, it's yeah. But, it, you know, it kind of lends into the story, right? Because, I mean, it helps kind of create this tension between the characters. It helps with, like, you know, eventually when the characters start, you know, they start converging towards the end where all the real action happens. You're like, okay, now I get why, you know, this person was with that person and shit like that. So,
yeah,
I mean, I don't know. There's some good kills in here. There's like we finally get like a flashback and get told the true story of what happened here. And I guess it was Sylvia's mom.
She had problems with the dad.
She accused the dad of cheating, you know, naturally.
Yeah, just
you know, the dad's like, no, fuck no. And she decides to leave. But what ends up happening is the story goes is that she drowned.
Yeah, she drowned
in the lake and no one's seen her.
Yeah,
since.
And her body never
and her body was never found. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I mean, you know, you already know what happens in this movie, right? So all these kids are in this cabin. They start getting picked off one by one. There's actually a really cool scene where, and you look online, and this is the scene that everyone talks about. The Jacinto, you know, he's, as I said, he's the caretaker. So he kind of just looms around this cabin throughout the entire movie. And finally, when shit starts getting good, you know, they're scared, like someone's creeping on the cabin, and all of a sudden a fucking head flies through the window and the girls start they start screaming and shit. Ends up being Jacinto is not the killer because his head just flew through the fucking window, and now we're left thinking, all right, who like, the fuck can possibly be the killer now?
Yeah, you're like, who's left? Is it the mother that we never knew died for sure, or is it the dad, or somebody else?
Yeah, but, I mean, you never know. People would assume it's the dad, but...
You just don't know for sure.
Yeah, you just don't know. but, you know, as it all happens, you know, they get locked up in this cabin. There's like a Friday the 13th style death in this because one of the girls, Tamara, decides... While all this chaos is happening, she decides she has to go to the bathroom. And she can't hold it anymore. So she goes to the bathroom. And blam, gets caught with a fucking axe to the face, you know, a la Friday the 13th. I love those scenes.
Whenever they show the axe on the head, the imagery just looks so cool. So if I get killed in a slasher style, I hope they throw a hatchet on my fucking head. That's how I want to die.
I mean, that's like the classic slasher kill is getting a fucking, some kind of knife or an axe or a hatchet or something to the fucking face.
Yeah.
And just falling against a wall, and then the blood is just dripping down your
something
face.
Something about, I don't know what it is. I just love that image. It's like, please, if you're going to kill me that way, you do it like that. The crime scene photos will be dope.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, well, all this is happening, I guess it's not hard to decipher who the killer is, because after all the kids, you know, they get stalked and killed, it ends up being that Silvia's dad, the owner of the cabin, is the killer.
I mean, he's holding a knife in the cover, saying, so it's not a mystery. Yeah, but it's still good to just still, like, you know, go in and not knowing anything, you know. Even if you do know, you're just like, well, let me see how this plays out. And then, yeah, it plays out really good. Then you find out why he's doing it. You know, he's
he gives the backstory.
Yeah, he's a fucking psycho. Yeah.
Okay, papá. ¿Por qué? ¿De cuándo acá tengo que rendirte cuenta de mis acciones, hija? Eres igual que tu madre. Siempre cuestionándome, siempre presionándome. Eso fue. Ese egoísmo fue el que la mató. Tú eras muy pequeña para recordar. Pero ese día decidió abandonarme. Abandonarme a mí que le había dado todo lo que una mujer puede soñar. Todo, menos cariño. Y no es cariño lo que a ti te ha sobrado. ¿Quién te llenó de amor sino yo todos estos años? ¿Y todo para qué? Para que te enamores y te largues con cualquiera. Un día de estos, igual que lo pensaba ser tu madre. ¿Eh? Era lo que ella quería. Separarnos. Separarnos.
Pero papá,
por eso esa vez tuve que hacerlo. Y empezó a gritar y yo me sentí muy mal, hija. Empecé a callarla, no se callaba y metí su cara en el lago.
y dejó de gritar, y por eso tuve que matarla. Por eso tuve que callarla.
Ninguno de tus amiguitos puede quererte tanto como yo, y ninguno va a protegerte tanto como yo te he protegido. Además, tú eres todo lo que tengo, y no voy a permitir que nadie nos separe. Han sido muchos años de soledad. Muchos. Además, ya es hora de reunir a la familia.
Crazy guy kills his wife, drowned her body, and
now he's ready to, you know, kill everyone else, you know, who's left, which is his daughter and Jaguar.
They should have been a couple, man. They should have rekindled the love. Yeah. There's like a jealousy love story between Sylvia and her dude, because he sees her, you know, getting attached to Jaguar. I mean, why wouldn't you? The dude's fucking, you know, a buff macho man with a fucking gun.
And then, I mean, they're not supposed to be the same age, because he's technically supposed to be older. He's older. Yeah. But in real life, they're both the same age. they're much older than the rest of the cast. The rest of the cast are much younger, which is funny.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, this one is a clear slasher, in my opinion. And I think out of the two movies from this episode, this is definitely going to be
The better one. Yeah. I mean, I will say it does play out slowly. Like, it does take its time to build up. But it's a good builder-upper. Like, you're in it and you're just like, oh, what's going to happen next? Oh. Like, oh, shit. The storm's coming. Oh, shit. You know, what's going to happen now? Like, all this mystery, and then you're just trying to figure out what's going on. And then that music score helps it, too. It's so, like, eerie sounding. I just love it.
Yeah, there was definitely some, there was one scene in particular.
Like synths or...
Yeah, it's like a synthy soundtrack, but it had like the... people who have seen the movie Cannibal Holocaust would know there's like the scene, the score from Riz Ortolani. There's like a... It's like that... Doom, doom, doom. Droning, brooding synth sound. There's one cue in Bosque de Muerte that has that similar style. And I was like, oh, hell yeah. This shit's going to get real. So that does help as well.
Yeah, the music helps as well. So like I said, everything about this movie is good. It's great, you know. It's like, damn. I'm glad people, like, discovered this, you know, when it got uploaded online.
I think this is one that, like, if someone were to release this, like Vinegar, Severin, or Arrow, or anybody, I think people would kind of hate the fact that it's slow, but appreciate it for the last 40 minutes, or maybe like 30 minutes.
Yeah, it's like 30.
Because that's where all the good shit happens.
Yeah.
And you actually do see blood in this, so the kills aren't off camera in this one like they are in Panico.
Yeah. And like I said, it was written as a slasher, and then it turns out to be a slasher. It's not just like, okay, we're going to try to make one, and then it gets fucked up along the way. Here it's like they just kept it straight. They're like, no changes, just keep going.
It's just funny that it's like, they decided to start ripping off Friday the 13th like almost 15 years after it.
Yeah. And I know this got released in theaters, but very shortly by Million Dollar, and then it just got thrown on video after that.
Oh shit.
So I might have been dope seeing that in theaters. Imagine just walking in and you're like, hey, a new Mexican slasher.
is this something I would assume, was it shot on 16 or was it shot on
it looked like 35 to me.
35.
It looked like 35, honestly. It didn't look 16. I could be wrong. It could be 16, but it looked like they definitely shot it on film, of course. But it was obviously intended for the theatrical market. And then around 93, that's when they were just short theatrical release window and then just dump it on video after. So that was the case here.
Damn, that would have been fucking sick to see this on.
Yeah. At first, I thought it was just a video home, but then I was like, no, this is theatrical. Like, the way the credits are rolling. And then, like, I seen a one-sheet poster of this before, actually. So it's like, okay, this definitely got a theatrical release.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah. By Million Dollar.
Damn, $1 million?
Million Dollar Video Corp, yeah. And then, of course, they did the video release after.
Naturally, yeah.
Yeah. But no, yeah, this is a good one. I think people will enjoy it. Like I said, it's slow and then it builds up, but it's a good one. I really enjoy it.
Well, one thing we wanted to do, because there's so many movies, right? And
yeah.
I don't want to be a deciding factor here. We wanted to, you know, ask a couple people to come in, watch these movies with us, and help us decide, is this a slasher or is it not a slasher? So we got a couple people, you know, give us their opinion. And maybe, I don't know, sway one way or the other, because I don't know what they're going to say. I haven't I'm purposely waiting to hear what they're saying until I put it edited into the show. But if they sound interesting, you know, check it out, you know, and try to find the movie. I mean, I'm sure these tapes are available on eBay and shit.
I think they're
not too scarce.
Yeah, I mean, we'll if we find sources, we'll put them in the show notes. So, you know, we're not going to let you guys not watch these. So maybe these will be on the show notes. Maybe not. I don't know. We'll see. If they are, they are.
And if they're not, then fuck it. They're not.
I don't know what happened there.
Just don't be hitting up Armando and asking, oh, yeah, bro. That's some slasher?
Oh, my God, bro. Did I get one the other day? No, I didn't. It was for another movie, but yeah. But these are two great ones. I mean, for what they are, you know, Pánico is not a slasher, really. It wants to be one, but no. But it's still entertaining. Bosque de Muerte, they obviously know what they were doing. That's a good one. This is a slasher for sure. So if you're going to ask me about this one, yes, it's a slasher.
I wonder what's up with the Mexico slashers being themed into forests or national parks and shit, you know, because there's a couple of them.
The easiest way to fucking get a permit is like, hey, we're gonna get a permit for the forest. Let's just, because they're gonna go to a city or they're gonna go to, like, I don't know. I mean, where else do slashers take place? I mean, they mainly take place in the forest. What do you think about?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so, you know, that's they're camping or there's, you know,
exactly. So it's like, yeah, they're just gonna do it in the forest. Fuck it.
Yeah, you don't got to shut down a city, right? You just close off a section of
it. I don't even need to get a permit. They're just asking them. All right, just quit.
Or guerrilla style, just steal the shots.
Yeah, exactly. There we go. Perfect.
All right, well, this one was short and sweet. You know, it's the first episode, so we'll let you guys decide. If you end up watching it, you know, hit us up. Tag us on Instagram, or if you're on Letterboxd, do the Letterboxd review. Let us know that you watched it. And let us know, is it a slasher or is it not a slasher?
Yeah, let us know, like, literally. Send us messages, send us voice notes, whatever, emails. Blow up our messages. Blow up Joey's, don't blame him. I'll take, like, a day to respond now.
Yeah, I don't get no
I'm dating now, so I'm busy, guys.
Damn, there it is. I'm still single, so for the lady listeners, you know, if I got that Barry White voice, you know.
Yeah,
you can
hit up Joey, but yeah, Joey's single, hit him up with dad, hit him up with the, yeah, I'll respond to today. Like I said, I take too much to respond now. I'm sorry.
All right, well, hopefully you guys like it. You guys know what to do. Find us online. Stay tuned for next week's episode.
That one's going to be good, too.
Yeah, that one's going to be really good. So stay tuned. Of course, we're going to have another couple of guests weigh in on that one. But for now, these are the guests for the first episode. And they watch Pánico and
Bosque
de Muerte. And we'll see if they... Let's see if they liked it. Let's see what they say. Is it a slasher or is it not? I don't know. You guys decide.
Yeah, let them decide.
This is the Unsung Horrors Podcast. I'm Erica.
I'm Lance.
And I watched Bosque de Muerte, which I would say is a slasher, but you have to wait an hour of its already short runtime of about 80 minutes for it to become that. You know, it has a lot of the trappings of a slasher. You know, there's stalking, there's a voyeuristic element earlier in the film. But once it does finally get around to the gore, there's a few standard kills like an axe to the head and a throat slash. But most slashers have one really memorable kill, and for me, that's definitely Jacinto's head being thrown through the window. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a slasher, but you one that you have to be very, very patient with. What about yours, Lance?
I watched, I'm going to use the English title, Panic in the Forest from 1989.
Panico en el Bosque.
There you go. Thank you. I'm from the Rio Grande Valley. I should be able
you
to nail this.
Be better than this.
I am not very good at it. Okay, so there's a 10-second cold open before the credits start that certainly sets the film up to be a slasher. It's what looks like a woman being murdered by this disfigured hand off screen. And right away I was sold, thinking, okay, we might have a slasher on our hands here. Then we're quickly introduced to some young kids, which is, again, classic setup for a slasher, right? We're meeting the killer's future victims, mm-hmm. upcoming victims. They're probably going to venture into the woods later that evening, and we'll get a little bit of what that title hints at. And we also cut to, like, this disfigured killer strolling in the woods, grunting and moaning like Madman Mars.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, here we go. This is it. But his first kill is killing a mother who is kind of abusing and mistreating her daughter, which was weird.
Okay.
And that's kind of what this turns out to be. This strange homeless guy who's, you know, he could pass as a weird murderer, like a murderer in the woods, but it's rather a sweet, dim-witted guy. Think classic, like Frankenstein Monster.
Mm-hmm.
Or even a Lenny from Of Mice and Men.
Okay, yeah.
Loves children, wants to protect them, but is a little bit dumb and just too strong. It made me think a little of Mr. Rabbi from An Eye for an Eye, that 1973 horror covered, who kills parents who mistreat their children. So any hint of a slasher or fake out of it being a slasher other than that cold open takes place in the last 15, 20 minutes of the movie. In between, it's just a lot of melodrama and character building.
Okay.
And there's this engaged couple. There's these three drunk punks, a grandmother and a grandson. They're lost in the woods. The killer's roaming. I'm like, okay, here we go. Bring on the grunting madman.
Mm-hmm.
But it just turns into the punks killing a park ranger, killing a girl, and chasing the kid who saw them murder her. So this is not a slasher at all.
Okay.
There's a semi-high body count, but most of the kills are done by accident. We have some park rangers who die in a fire because some drunk campers accidentally started a fire.
Yeah.
And then the punks are doing all the killing. I mean, overall, I think Panic in the Forest is fine. It's very messy, but I love the campiness from the characters, especially the grandmother. She is so fun to watch. Felt like a telenovela in the woods.
Okay.
And you know me, I love soap opera vibes in my horror films. So I leaned more into liking this than finding it boring. It's something I'd recommend, but I would preface it by saying, do not expect a slasher movie.
Yeah, it sounds like it has all the ingredients of it, but they just did not come together to form a slasher pie.
Yeah.
They had
the setting, the forest. They had the creepy looking grunting point of view from the killer, but it just, no.
Yeah. Bosque de Muerte also had, like, you know, the horny teens. You had, you know, three different couples that are all going to this remote place. And the killer is very predictable. Like, if you don't guess who the killer is, you've never seen a movie before. Like, it's the same where it had all the ingredients and I was starting to get worried. I was like, is anyone going to fucking die in this movie? And then finally, okay, we get to that, so... But I mean, I did like it, but it just took a really long time for me to get there. So I'm a little split on my recommendation for Bosque de Muerte. So anyway, thanks to Joey and Armando for having us share our thoughts.
Yeah, love the podcast.
So I just finished watching Panico al Bosque and Bosque de Muerte. Between the two, honestly, I like Bosque de Muerte more because it seems to follow a lot of the slasher tropes front to back without any real issues outside of the last 20 minutes of it actually being a full-on slasher, where Panico al Bosque seemed more like a police periodical slash family drama with like the last 10 minutes of it actually being a slasher with no indication of the who the real killer was. I actually got a little confused because I thought the three punk slash I'm assuming teen delinquents were the actual killers that were causing a racket, but you know, sometimes people got thrown in curveballs. So yeah, I going back to it, Bosque de Muerte was my favorite of the two, though. So yeah, and I think, like I said before, they both have slasher elements to it, with Bosque de Muerte being more of a slasher than Pánico en el Bosque. Ooh, I butchered that one. Sorry about that.
Próximamente estrenaremos.
¡Tanto! ¿Ya compusiste la planta? Ese grito fue de Jessica.
¿Qué onda? ¿Oyeron eso?
Sí.
En el cobertizo. Seguramente Dato se dio un toque el baboso.
Un fantasma.
Sí, oye.
¡Coyote! ¡Te voy a matar!
¡Manuel! ¡Hay que avisarle al comisario!
¡Te voy a matar!
¡Hay que avisarle al comisario!
¡Ayer!
¡Vámonos!
Andrés, mételas a la cabaña. Yo voy sobre el coyote.
¡Ay, ya voy contigo!
No, mi amor, métete a la cabaña. Aquí van a estar seguros.
No, pero es que no la voy a hacer sola.
¡Cállate! ¡Entiende! No, ¡entiende!
¡Por acá!
¡Yo voy por ayuda!
¡No!
¡Ahorita vengo!
¡Estás loco! ¡Te van a matar!
¡No! ¡Carajo! ¡Vamos a meternos! ¡Adentro debe haber algo por qué defendernos!
¡Está cerrado!
¡Por la cocina, vete! ¡Órale!